we're going to get into the message here tonight. But I brought some cake. And how many of you guys like cake? Does anybody like cake? Are you picky about your cake? You know, people say, what kind of cake do you? I just want cake. It don't matter if it's yellow or if it's chocolate or if it's white. I just like cake. So does anybody want to confess in here that you like cake? Let me see your hand. Not too many people. Well, good. We should have plenty to go around. So would anybody like a piece of my cake tonight? Why not? Huh? Well, the box says there's a cake in here, right? Huh? A lot of things you buy at the store, you just open it up and eat it, right? But y'all are smart enough to know that when you open up this box, the promise that's on the outside has not yet come to fruition on the inside, right? When you begin to investigate what's being advertised to you, you find out that there's more to it than just opening up the box. You begin to look at it and you begin to see, if you read what's on here, then in order to get what's advertised or to get what's promised, my Mr. and Mrs. Duncan Hines, whoever that is, it's not Betty Crocker, that there is a process on the back of the box. And if we are willing to take what's in here and we take the process that's listed on the box, ultimately we will wind up with what was advertised. How many of you know that there's a process that has to be followed in order for this cake to come about? And how many of you know that the manufacturer's done all they're going to do? Okay, they've already provided all they're going to provide, and they gave us the process that we're to follow. And if we will do our part, they've done their part. And together, how many of you know, something good's going to come out of it? How many of you know it's the same way in our walk with the Lord? How many of you know right there that could be the promise of God? That could be the prophetic word of the Lord. You know, I was talking to the kids over in chapel the week after David and Miha left, and we were talking about it because so many of them had words spoken over them. How many of you know that this could represent the word of the Lord? This could represent the promise of God. But how many of you know that God, more times than not, the majority of times, the way God works is, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that we are co-laborers with Him. We are co-laborers. Now, we may not understand that. God has His purposes in that. But for the promise to come to pass, He's done His part. Would you say amen to that? He's done His part, but He says there is a process that you have to get engaged in. There is a process that you have to follow. How many of you know that prophetic words over our life are not imminent? Or they're not inevitable? Let me just say it that way. Did Jesus not say to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Did Paul not say to Timothy to take the prophetic words, the prophecies which have been spoken over your life, and with them war a good warfare? What was he telling him? He was saying, God told you some things were ahead. He said, but you got to take what he said and you got to begin to work the process. Did God tell Noah that he wanted to save him and his whole family? Did he show him a picture? Did he give him a blueprint of his salvation? Did he say it's going to be gopher wood and it's going to be X number of feet long? Y'all probably are better Bible scholars than me. You probably know how long and how tall and how many rooms. But anyway, it was a boat, right? We call it an ark. He said, your salvation for your whole family. So after Noah got the picture and the blueprint, all he had to do was go sit in the recliner and then he had what God said, right? No, he had to get involved in the process. So we have to understand that when God speaks things to us and he gives us promises in his word, he expects us to be co-laborers with him. Co-laborers with him. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight about participating with the process. How many of you know it's a wonderful thing to get a scholarship? Students that graduate from high school, it's a great thing to get a scholarship. But the scholarship is not the degree. The scholarship is not the degree. How many of you know it's great to get a promise? It's great to get a prophetic word. But how many of you know that's not the realization of the word? Okay, the scholarship, when you receive that, that's the easy part. The degree is the hard part. The scholarship gives us entrance into the process. And God wants us tonight to, I don't know, we're in different stages, I know, in our life, but to hope again that we're in this process and that He doesn't want us to stay where we're at, that He has higher levels that He wants us to go to. He has greater distances that He wants to take us. He has greater things that He wants to do in our life, but we got to get up and get involved in the process. How many of you know there was a process for us to get where we're at? But God has a process for us to get where we need to be. See, as a rule, the first point on your notes is this, is God is a God of process. So tonight, my message is not one of those revelatory messages, right? I've never heard that before. This is a call to remembrance message. How many of you know those are just as good? We look at the Word. Any of you ever, besides me, ever have to remind your kids that today is trash day? They already knew it. I've already told them before. But because I remind them, it's a lot better around our house for the next week because they get the trash out. Sometimes we just got to remember, and it enables us to walk things out the way we should. So number one, God is a God of process. You can look all throughout the Word of God and you can see that God is a God of process. He doesn't have to be. When God went to create the entirety of the universe, could He not have just in one snap of the finger and it was all done? But did He do that? Or did He have day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven? Because He is a God of process. In Mark 4:28, the scripture says, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." The fruit is the end, right? The fruit is the end. It's what we're going after. But to get there, first the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. Because God is a God of process. Galatians 6:7 tells us this. Don't we know that whatever we sow, how many of you know, that we are going to reap? Sowing and reaping, a principle, one of the primary principles in the Word of God. And that is, God is saying, look, it's a process. The seeds, got. How many of you know you can carry seed around in your back pocket all day long? You can pair seed. You can tell everybody, look at this seed that I've got. Look at this word that I've got. Look at the word of the Lord gave me. But until we put the thing in action and we get engaged in the process, we're not going to see it bear any fruit. God is a God of process. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and then another builds upon it. Building a house involves a process. All throughout God's Word, as He's talking about His relationship with us, He uses words that are indicative of the fact that we are to be engaged co-laborers with Him in the process of bringing about the things that He wants to bring about in our lives. Things like the plans He has for us, or the work that He is completing in us, or that the sick are recovering. They all point to a God of process. And it's not that God can't do things instantaneously. How many know God can do things instantaneously? Remember the woman with the issue of blood when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment? What happened? Wasn't she healed instantaneously? But you know, many times we kind of look over the process. Had she been involved in a process before that moment? 12 years she had been fighting. She had spent all that she had. She had been searching. She had been seeking. And had brought her to that moment. And she had been engaged in the process that brought her to a point of healing. When God wants to accomplish something in our lives, to bring us to another level, to a further destination, it inevitably involves a process. And so what happens is, and when we get the word, or we get the promise, or we get the picture, Joseph says, you're going to all go bow down to me. Moses, you're going to be the deliverer. Noah, you're going to build the ark. We get that on the front end. And then when it doesn't happen immediately, the enemy comes in like a flood, right? And he begins to speak things to us like, well, that really wasn't God, or you're really not worthy, or that's never going to come to pass. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to get us to abort the process. I want to get ahead of myself. But if we abort the process, if you dig the seed out of the ground, how many of you know it's never going to germinate and turn into a tree? It's not going to produce any fruit. So if the enemy can convince us to walk away from the process, you know, I can put an egg in here and I can beat it and I can say, well, you know, that's what was part of the process. But how many of you know I'm not going to have this? I've got to follow through on the process. See, a process is, I'm going to give you a definition here, a systematic series of steps. That's what a process is. It's a systematic series of steps. Steps 1, 2, 3, 4 that produce change and development. How many of you know God's into changing us and developing us? Changing us and developing us. Our character, our trust, our faith, our dependence. He's into engaging us in processes that change us and develop us. So a process is a systematic series of steps that produce change and development in a forward or an upward direction. So we say God is a God of process. Number two in your notes, if a process is a series of steps, then we got to know that God orders steps. God orders steps. If it's good enough for Duncan Hines, how many know it's good enough for God? They ordered some steps. Now, the thing about steps is nobody really likes steps. We would rather God ordered our miracle, right? We would rather God ordered our healing, the big check in the mailbox. We would rather that He would just cause that spouse that we're looking for just to appear out of thin air and be right there. We would rather He just ordered the miracle or the promise or the destination. But the Scripture tells us in Psalms 37:23 that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good or a godly man or woman are ordered by the Lord. And it doesn't say that He suggests steps. It says that He orders steps for us. And let's be honest. How many of us in here, if we're given the option to take the steps, the stairway to the top of the tower or ride the glass elevator up, how many of you take the steps? Let me see your hand. Well, just a few of you are telling a story. No, I'm just joking. Some of you are smart and you know that it's good exercise. But as a whole, what do we want in life? We want the easy way, at least at my house. Okay? So the reason, though, that we have steps in a house is what? Because you need a way to get to the next level. Okay? So the purpose of steps is functionality. The purpose of steps is practicality. It's so that I can get from point A to point Z. I don't go from A to Z without going through B, C, D, E, and F. You think you can still sing the alphabet song anyway? That's kind of off. Can you say it backwards? You ever know anybody that can say the alphabet backwards? Huh? That's not in my notes, but anyway. To get to A, from A to Z, there's steps that are to be taken. The reason for the steps is so that we can get from the level we're on to the higher level that God wants to take us to. How many know God wants to take us to higher levels? In 2 Kings chapter 5, when Naaman the leper wanted to move from the level of leprosy to the level of wholeness, how many of you know that God wanted to do that for him, but He did it through the avenue of process. And He did it through the avenue of ordering steps to take Naaman from leprosy to healing. In 2 Kings 5:19, I believe, let me see, yeah, it's in your notes right there. The Scripture says, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, so he was going there because he heard that Elisha could heal him. So he wanted God to order his what? His healing. Okay, so he showed up and he wanted God to heal him. And so when he got there, what happened was Elisha sent a messenger out to him. And he said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. Now, one upside to Naaman at this point is this. At least he knew he needed to get off the level he was in. And at least he went to seek out some of the steps that it was going to take for him to get to the next level. And if we ever want to go from where we are, we can't just sit around and twiddle our thumbs. How many of you know that in this word, God has ordered steps? Whether it's financial, whether it's relational, whether it's destiny, whatever it is, God has steps. And Naaman was saying, look, I've got to find out what the steps are so that I don't remain here. And let me just say this. In Naaman's situation, how many of you know it wasn't just a good idea for him to move to the next level? It was life or death. And in many of our lives, we have areas of our lives that it's not just a good idea. We've got to find out what God's steps are that he's ordering for us. In Isaiah 11:2, this is not in your notes, but this came to me before service tonight when I was actually looking at a video we're going to close with. Isaiah 11:2, just jot the reference down. It says this. How many of you know God's not trying to hide things from us? He is not trying to hide the stairwell from us. He is not trying to hide the process from us. He wants us. He wants us to engage it. Isaiah 11:2 says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And I believe that tonight, some of us, God's wanting us to wake up again and realize that I'm in the middle of this process. I'm not going to let the enemy talk me out of it. I'm not going to abort the process. I'm not going to walk away from this thing. I'm not going to give up on it, that God is going to impart to me a spirit of wisdom and understanding so that I know the steps that I need to take. The spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. How many of you know if we have that spirit working in us, we're going to know what we need to do? So the steps that were ordered for Naaman were not the steps that Naaman was expecting. And many times in our life, it's the same way. We think God's going to do it a certain way, or we wished he would do it a certain way, or we already have it planned out how God's going to do it. So it keeps us from many times understanding or seeing what it is that God wants us to do. So let's look at what Naaman said. So after the messenger came out and told Naaman to go dip 7 times in the river, he said in verse 11, Naaman became furious. And he went away and he said, indeed, I said to myself. So he was talking to himself. He had other issues. He will surely come out to me. So he already had it planned out. So this is the steps that God. He said, okay, I'm going to go over here to the prophet. And when I get there, this is what's going to happen. These are the steps. How many of you know many times we're guilty of telling God the way that he needs to do things? So God, I want, this is what you said. How many know Abraham, the father of our faith, kind of did the same thing? How many know it's not good to write our own process? It's not good to write our own steps. Naaman said, okay, I'm going to go there. And when I go there, he will surely come out to me because I'm so important. And he will stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God. And I love this. And this is in this version. It says this. And he's going to wave his hand over the place and he's going to heal the leprosy. Okay, that's pretty easy, right? How much did that require of Naaman? Not much, you know? So here I am. I need to go to the next level. And what's going to happen is I'm going to go to church and I'm going to walk down front and Pastor Jerry's going to wave his hand over me and he's going to pray. And when he's done, I'm going to walk out and everything's going to be right. Wasn't that really what Naaman was thinking? I'm just going to show up. He's going to come to me. He's going to wave his hand. And when he does, I'll be healed of leprosy, except for the fact that that was not God's steps. That was not the ordered steps of God. See, there were steps we took to get into our current situation, and God is going to use steps to get us out. And many times the steps he uses to get us out is so that he can change us and mold us, and he can make us into someone who won't take the very same steps to get back in the same situation. Do you follow what I'm saying? I got into debt by overspending, through laziness in my finances, through no discipline in my spending habits, through bad stewardship of what God's put in my hand, through not tithing, through not sowing seed, through not obeying God with my money. And our thinking is that God would miraculously wave his hand, right? and I get a check in the mailbox, and it takes care of everything, and it turns this around. But God's steps usually are not about as much turning our situation around as they are as turning us around. Because he knows that if he can turn us around, that we won't be back in that same situation again. And we will look to him and we will trust him and we will depend upon him because we know that he is our source. Everybody say, God is not an enabler. And the wave the hand theology that we have in church many times, or when we pray, we go in the wave the hand, God, I just pray that you'll fix it. And then just get frustrated, or we get aggravated, or we get upset because he doesn't just wave his hand and fix everything. But instead, what God does is he orders steps. Amen. He orders steps. And if we're willing to take the steps, how many of you know those steps are taking us to the next level? God is a God of process. Come labor with me, he says. Come labor with me. Through faith and patience, you'll inherit the promises. Labor with me. Do what I'm saying do. I'm not going to hide it from you. I've ordered steps for you. If you will trust me and follow me, you will get there. But Naaman got angry and he was frustrated and he said, you know what? Forget it. If God can't poof and fix it, then I'm done with this deal. Right? And he said this, are not the Abna and the Pharpar, I think is the name of that, the rivers of Damascus where I came from, better? Do we not sometimes think that we got better ideas than God? We got better? He said, those rivers are better than all the waters of Israel. Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage because he didn't like the steps that God was ordering for him. And we don't have to like them. We just got to take them. But it's sure a lot better if we like them and embrace them because we understand that God is working all things. He's working. He's working. He's working all things together for our good. So fortunately for Naaman, he had some people around him that could speak into his life. And let me just say, that's extremely important. We were talking to singles last night about this. All of us have blind spots. Everybody agree with that? Anybody got a blind spot? Well, if you don't think you got one, then you're blind to your blind spot. How many know it's better, husbands, to have your wife in the car so you can say, can I get over? Not that they're not telling you already, right? I'm just saying. Because there's a blind spot and I can't see and I can crane my neck and I can do it. But how many of you know it's very important to have people around us that we're open to hear from and we'll let them speak into our lives and we'll be an open book to them because sometimes it's going to be them that keep me from the cliff. Godly friendships. So it says his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean. And this is on the top of the back page of your notes. I would just make this comment. See, the process demands something from me. The process demands something from me before it returns something to me. The process demands something from me before it returns something to me. Naaman, go do this. It's demanding something from Naaman before it's going to return something to him. Those are called steps that God orders for us because the process will always demand steps. Steps of, you can fill these in, we're about to close. The process demands steps. Steps of obedience. Everybody say obedience. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. God, see, here's the thing about these steps anyway. These aren't, God is not this pie in the sky narcissist up there who just wants to see us jump through hoops. Do you know that every step he asks of us is for our good? Every step that he requires is going to bring me closer to him. It's going to form me more into the image of his son. The steps he's called us to take are for our good. Steps of obedience. Steps of trust. Naaman, you just got to trust me on this. You got to trust the Lord. It may not be as clean. It may not be as clear. Your mind, carnal mind, may not understand it. But to get to the next level of your healing, of where you want to be, God has ordered a step. And that step is go wash in the river 7 times. four, five, six. Do you think he was feeling like a fool yet? Steps of trust. God, I don't understand it, but I know you said it. It's part of the process. Steps of trust. Steps of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. D, steps of humility. Many times it's bringing us to a place where we're not dependent upon our own arm, our own strength, our own wisdom. The steps are bringing us to a place of surrender. Steps of surrender. See, God is letting the process work in me so I'm ready for what God is going to bring to me. You understand that? See, it's not that he's getting the blessing ready for me. Rather, he's getting me ready for the blessing. When Samuel showed up and anointed David with oil, he anointed him to be king. King was on the box, right? King. He anointed him to be king. But how many of you know David had to turn the box around? He was anointed to be king, but he didn't receive the crown that day. See, there were steps that had to be taken. There was a process that had to be worked in him. And the process was not about getting the kingship ready for David. It was about getting David ready for the kingship. And in our lives, many times, most of the time, the process is all about what God is doing in us. So, of course, the enemy wants to abort the process. So, of course, the enemy wants us to run away from the steps. Of course, the enemy wants us to think that we know better or we're frustrated at God because he doesn't want us to arrive at the promised destination. Let me close out with this because at 7:30, I'm going to tell you all the way down at the bottom. This. Some important things to know about steps. Number one, each step is significant. Each step is significant. You get to be my age. I used to run up the stairs and I'd maybe do three or four at a time. You know, that's not what stairs are supposed to be done, right? One step at a time. One step builds on the other. Each step is significant. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord will direct our steps because each one is significant. How many of you know David's sling was preparing him for Goliath? David's heart was preparing him for Saul's court. David's shepherding days were preparing him to lead the nation of Israel. Each one of the steps were significant in where God was taking him. Number two, each step is ordained. In the middle of it, when the devil's telling you this is foolish, this is never going to work, why are you doing this? Nobody around you believes it. You can say this step is ordained by God. God said it, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to make it, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to step on this step. The scripture says in Proverbs 20:24, man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How can man understand his way? We may not understand it, but we can say this step is ordained by God, and I will take it. And then lastly, number three, each step is numbered, meaning this. There may only be 10 steps to the next level in this process, but isn't it good to know? God didn't just arbitrarily say, well, take this step and this step and this step. He's ordained steps. They're all significant, and there's a number to them. And the Bible says, don't grow weary in taking the God-ordained steps. I'm going to paraphrase it. Because in due season, you're going to reach the next level if we don't give up, right? Don't grow weary in well-doing because in due season, we will reap if we do not faint. How many know God's a God of process? So get excited about the process. There are no shortcuts. There are no end runs. When God says this is the way that's going to be, so Naaman went down, he washed seven times in the River Jordan, and guess what? When he took the God-ordained steps, each one being significant, each one being numbered, God numbered the number of times that he was to dip. When he obeyed and he trusted and he followed through, how many of you know he came up that last time and he was on a whole nother level? He was on a whole nother level. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to be dismissed tonight. If you have kids, you need to go pick up your kids. But as we're going to be dismissed, and you can be dismissed if you want to, we're going to close out with this song. But some of us tonight need... We need tonight to recognize that we're in a process. You can go ahead and start it, Lee, if you want to. We need to recognize that we're in a process and that the enemy wants us to abort the process. But tonight, God wants to bring fresh faith and fresh hope and fresh revelation. And I believe he wants to give us keys so that we can see and understand the things that we need to do. How many of you know he's not hiding them from us? And tonight, particularly, if you're in the midst of something and you thought it was going to be this, but you're frustrated or you're overcome or you're weary in the process, then I believe there's a grace tonight. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to believe God. He's going to encourage you and he's going to strengthen you and he's going to help your eyes be open to understand what steps you need to take. Just bring that up loud. You are officially dismissed.